I'm speaking today with Mr. Thomas Hackett at his home on College View Drive in Churchville, Maryland.
In Saturday, I mean, it was just filled.
Couldn't get a parking place anywhere.
And that was a problem. And you met everybody. Everybody was there on Friday and on Saturday. Well, I think I better find out what you want, sir.
Well,
From where I originally came from,
yeah,
right?
Originally,
and then you just want a sort of a history of where I was and what I did and so forth.
Yes. I see that you were born in Queen Anne's County.
Yes. Yes, a town called Queen Anne on top. It's near Easton, near Stonewall, near Denton.
And what did your parents, were they farmers?
No, my father was a country doctor and farmer. Country doctor and farmer. And it was just, he eked out a good living, but that was all. On that.
And how did, let's see, did you grow up then on the Eastern Shore?
Yes. We had a tremendous amount of mosquitoes and high humidity. And as a kid, well, that was before any air conditioning or anything. And I decided if I could ever leave there, I was going to, and that's what I did. Of course, air conditioning came in and all the rest, and that made it much better.
So then how did you choose to get into Harford County?
Well, I went to normal school over at Towson for 2 years and graduated. And in the meantime, when I was going to Towson, I started going to summer school over at the University of Maryland because I wanted to finish up. Then I taught 2 years over in Prince George County and then went back a year and finished my degree. Then there was a principal here in Harford County that said they were looking for a man for Darlington, so I came over and I got the job over in Darlington.
Now, was this at the Darlington School?
Yes, the Darlington School. Are you taping this now? Well, I was going to try to go back and give you, or shall we just ramble on?
Well, it's okay. Whatever you want to do.
Well, let's take it from there. I think we mentioned that my father was a country doctor, graduated from the University of Pennsylvania. And I have one brother. He is in Pittsburgh. He was a teacher all of his life. Going back, I roomed at a house of a German family in Ardmore, Maryland, which is on the old WBNA. They had the electric cars that ran from Baltimore to Annapolis and from Baltimore to Washington. It was a typical German family. The school that I went to was a rural school, approximately 55 children. I was 18 and a half when I was teaching there and had pretty good success there. And every Saturday night we used to go into Washington to a German club and dances and eating. In 1927 and 28, I graduated from the University of Maryland. Then I had the opportunity to interview C. Milton Wright, which was the superintendent of Harford County, and I got the job at Darlington. It was a junior high school job. It was 8th grade and 9th grade. I had 12 pupils at that time. My salary at that time was $115 a month. Then I was transferred to Churchville, as it was the first consolidated school in Harford County. They closed up the following schools: Churchville, Glenville, Calvary, Locust Hill, Aldina, to make the Consolidated School of Churchville. A few years later, the closed Thomas Run School and also Carson's Run School. This was the first of actually using of buses in the county. The school opened in September 1931. They had been about a year and a half constructing it. And the salary for the ordinary man at that time was 25 cents an hour, and the carpenter was 35 cents an hour, and they thought that was big wages. Mr. Paul Bader Harlan had a scoop with two mules and got the grand sum of $5 a day. He was a young man, and he thought he was going to get rich. I think you interviewed Paul Harlan. Very nice fellow. Well, when we it was nothing but a building, absolutely nothing but a building alone. The PTA, children, and neighbors, and so forth, all pitched together and tried to make a fairly decent-looking place. I remember Mr. Paul Harlan donated all the manure for our yard. And then some other farmers came in and worked the soil, planted grass, and we had grass started. Paul Beatty Harlan, which is the father of Paul Harlan, gave us flowers, all jonquils, tulips, and such things as that. We planted trees. Mr. William Finney of Churchville gave us some sugar maples to line along the roadway on the road from Churchville to Habit of Grass. We got a tremendous amount of iris, and we begged and borrowed and stole, I guess you would call it, of all of the types of flowers that we could put in. We even put in a McCadden walk. As I said, it was just a building alone. The PTA were very cooperative. They put the electricity in, but there was no fixtures. The PTA put in all the necessary lights and connections to the wires. The PTA also built a stage for the school. We started our first library in 1932. They bought us a lot of audio-visual equipment, playground equipment, and I sort of laugh when I say playground equipment, because over the Fresh Air Farm, they were going to get rid of some, and four or five men and myself went over there and took down the equipment, brought it back to Churchville, and with the help of the boys that worked down at Aberdeen Proving Ground, we were able to put it back up together. We started a, I don't know if you would call it a cafeteria or not, but I would call it soup and cocoa. The ladies used to come in and prepare either potato soup, vegetable soup, or cocoa. We had an old three-burner oil stove. For the material for this, I recall that milk was donated by Paul Beatty Harlan and Samuel Fielder. Vegetables, we took a collection in the early fall. Everybody sent in jars of all types of vegetables, and of course that made the good vegetable soup. It was the first that was ever started in the county, and it did work good. PTA, some of the things that the PTA also did, we bought pictures for every room in our school and also for our hall. They donated money for our library, and we had one of the best libraries in the county along in 1932. PTA was also very active. We used to have an annual turkey supper, and I think one year we made $2,000 off of our supper. All of it was donated. Everything was the turkeys were taken out to the individual houses and were cooked and brought in, and all of the other things were started at home and then came brought on in. One of the first bus drivers that we had was during the World War number two. Mary Barato was the first woman driver on the buses in Harford County. And she donated her time because she couldn't find a bus driver at that time. I even drove the buses, even had to take care of the furnace during the war when you couldn't get any janitor. On the school ground was a fireplace in memory of World War II soldiers. The work was done by Lloyd Weaver, a farmer, and let's see what else we want to call him, a mason. And he's also known in about the last 15 years for painting pictures, and they're quite a premium at the present time. The fireplace that was built was made of port deposit granite, and that was donated by the company over at Port Deposit. Salary, as I said, when I went to Darlington, was $115. At that time, food for a family of two was $7.50, and that was off of good food. Rent was generally from about $25 to $35. Turn it off for a minute. Let's see what else we... Just a few things I think might be interesting. I remember along about 1932, the Old Country Club in Belair was dwindling and going down. I was fortunate to be able to fill in for the card games. It was generally bridge. And the people that played there in the evening, generally on Sunday evening, was John Young, who was a lawyer in Belair. John Robison was a lawyer. Mrs. Roberts, whose husband was dead, and she moved to Belair. She was originally from Ohio and boarded there. And Mrs. Butterfield, she and her husband owned the country club at that time. I was very fortunate because I had good food, was allowed to have some drinks, and generally I was just a little smarter than they were with the cards, and I always came home with a little bit of money. During the war, a lot of the prisoners of war were located down at Edgewood, and some of the farmers had them for working on their farms during the summer. You had to pay 50 cents an hour for these prisoners of war. I had just bought a property of 40 acres, and it needed a lot of work. I paid $6,500 for it, and I thought that was a tremendous amount of money to pay for a property. Fences had to be fixed, the barn had to be repaired, doors and screens, and a little of everything had to be done. And I got generally two prisoners of war, and as it worked out, they were very nice fellows and were willing to work. And they had felt the crunch of lacking of food, and they seemed to enjoy good food, and I used to always give them breakfast, and they thoroughly enjoyed that. And I had two especially that were exceptionally good, and I asked them how I could get them every Saturday. And they said, if you would give us two cigars to give to our sergeants down at Aberdeen, not at Edgewood Proving Ground, that they could get them. And that developed, a little friendship developed, and after the war was over and they went back, I sent a lot of clothing and care packages to them. In return, a man by the name of Pippenhagen sent me a lot of little tokens or gifts from Berlin. Later on, I sponsored him to come to this country, and I told him if he would work and save his money, that we would bring the rest of his family. He worked for 2 years, saved his money, and then I went on his note so that he could bring the rest of the family, He had four boys, and at that particular time I had a small tenant house on the farm, and we fixed that up, and he lived in that. Then he became a U.S. citizen, and after he became a U.S. citizen, he worked for the government. His boys, all of his boys, have been in service, but there was something that I did find out, that a foreigner that becomes a citizen cannot become of any rank in the service. And, of course, after they spent about 10 to 15 years, they moved on out and went into their own business. Grange was very popular along in the early 30s, very strong in Harford County, trying to do things for the farmers and people. It was an organization that tried to help development in the county. It is still in existence, but in small numbers. I spent about 15 years of the Boy Scouts working with them and taking them on camping trips. I was the leader of Churchville. I didn't have much success of getting anybody else to help me, but I did have good cooperation of parents. Whatever I asked parents, they were always willing to do. Going back to Darlington, I went there in 1928, and the dam had just been completed. It was a boom town. It was going down because the dam had been completed. You had moving picture place, you had clothing stores, you had restaurants, you had a bowling alley there. Practically a hotel. It was more there like an apartment than a hotel. I remember where I was living in Darlington, there were a couple young fellas that were working for a local bootlegger, hauling his material up to Philadelphia, New York, and Boston. They used to borrow my alarm clock and set it for 12 o'clock on Tuesdays, because that's when they went. They were given they made $75 for a trip to Boston. That also included that was food and whatever incidentals that they had to have. Turn it off a minute.
How did you decide to go into teaching?
Well, whatever your father happens to be, you think that you should be able making more money out of it than you want to get into and struggle at. I knew that I had to go out to work to make my own living. Towson Normal School was very, very cheap, practically nothing. I think it was about $100 to $150, actually, it cost to go there a year. That was in food and everything. And I thought that I would like teaching, at least give it a try. And I went there and spent my 2 years and got my credits to teach, and I got a job. And when you think about it in the Depression, that you're making $95 a month, and I never knew what Depression was at that time. Guys, I had enough to pay my bills, good clothing. I used to go into Washington, see the plays, and money wasn't a problem. $95, when you come to think of it, when the poor people were standing on the corner selling apples and begging for something to eat. Then after I taught 2 years, I thought, well, I've got to finish my degree, so I went back and got my BA degree. Then I continued on during the summers and got my master's degree in 1942. I think it's wherever you're working with people, if you can get along with people and work with them and have success in it, I think it's one of the greatest things in the world. Getting along with people is what many people cannot do. Next question, sir.
Well, now, were you in the minority being a man in education at
that time? Oh, yes, absolutely. A minority, practically none. In 1928, there were men as high school principals, and there were no men in elementary school. I was, of course, you see, I went to Darlington in the 8th and 9th grade, which we would call today a junior high school. Then, when they opened the consolidated school at Churchville, then I got the job as principal at Churchville.
Hmm. Well, now at Darlington, was that the school that it is now? Is that the building?
No. There was an old building there, I would say about 1890. There was a building there that was called the Academy, and that ran to about 1915. And then it went over to the public schools. We had from first through the seventh grade in the elementary school, then I taught the eighth and ninth grade, and then they were transported by a bus to Belair at first, and then a little later, Dublin High School was built, and then they transferred them over to Dublin High School. That was a few years later on that. Darlington was, as I said before, was the end of a boom town. And I mean, there was practically no business there, and just a few houses. They had a very old Episcopal church. It was made of porta-potties and granite, very beautiful church. There was a Methodist church in the village, and also there is, and still is, a Quaker church at Darlington. Many of the old Quaker people that died have gravestones in that graveyard. There is also a large Darlington Cemetery. I don't know exactly what date it started, but it has been the graveyard for a large part of all the people outside of Belair and Habitgrass and Aberdeen. It's a very beautiful, maintained. It's controlled by private individuals. Next question, sir.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's see, the people that were making Darlington boom, it was the men that were working on the bridge?
No. Now, wait a minute. The men that were working, their wages were very good for that time. They had extra money, and of course, then they spent it in the different types of stores there.
Hmm.
I remember there was one there, was a dress shop, which made good long in 1930. But of course, that soon petered out. The old Mick building was built as an apartment house, and a lot of men stayed there, and they served food there. What else? Go on.
Okay. And now, what were the kids like that you had at Darlington? Were they farmers? Children?
Yes, practically every one of the children were farmers, with the exception of approximately Conowingo was hiring about 80 people to run the plant there. Of course, I mean, you had those, and then you had farmers, and most of those were farmers. Mm. I remember that one family that came from Rock Run. A man by the name of Wilkerson owned the old mill at Rock Run, and I know he used to bring his girl in, which was approximately 7 miles each day to Darlington. A good class of people, hard working. We had a good PTA, and people were generous. I remember, of course, Darlington was a little down on cards and dancing, but one of the local men would do anything that I wanted. If I wanted a card party, all I'd do is call him up and say, you're sponsoring a card party. And he'd put his name to it, and we would have a card party. We also would have dances, but there's always sponsored for B.G. Jordan. Next question.
Well, B.G. Jordan, now that's the canning?
Yes, sir. He has a son, Walter Jordan. Do you know either one of them? I think there was an interesting thing there. Walter, at the present time, has a large farm or the home place, and is very successful in the canning business there, and is still in the business. Walter's dad asked me, what should he do with Walter? As far as schooling was concerned, and I said, well, he's going to follow in your shoes in running a farm and a cannery. And he says, yes, that's exactly what he's going to do. Then I said, what to do if he will go on to college, to go to college and get a degree. If he won't do it, go 1 year at University of Maryland and learn how to work with people and how to get along with people. And that's what he did. And he's been very successful in his canning business. And I believe it is the last cannery in Harford County. Along about 1925, Harford County was just loaded with canneries. Every farmer had a cannery. Around Churchill here, we had one, two, three, four. We had four canneries. I know of two down around Aberdeen. Now there is still one. What is that cannery down at Perriman? They're still canning corn.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Mitchell? Yes, it's Mitchell. Mm-hmm. And they are still putting out a tremendous amount of corn. And it's very good. I like it very, very much. Mm-hmm. Now, the next question, sir.
Well, now, let's see. So, what was the school system like? Was it very organized, or were there lots of schools at that time?
I mentioned that there was five schools that formed the Consolidated School at Churchville. Mm-hmm. Then a couple years later, there were two schools that came in. In about the middle of 1935, all the one and two room schools were closed, and those were all sold. Many of those schools have been turned into houses. If you go down Thomas Run, you will find a school there has been made into a dwelling. And if you know where they're located, they're practically all been turned into houses. Hmm. When you speak of Thomas Run School, I was very anxious to get the bell off the belfry. I talked to C. Milton Wright, which was the superintendent, and he says, if you want it, you go tomorrow and get it, because if you don't, somebody else is going to get it. So I went and got it the following day. I used it on the little farm that I had, and my good neighbor, which had been always very good to me, wanted a bell. So I lent him the bell, and I made him write me a note that if he ever got rid of the bell, that he would return it to me. Next question.
Were people around here not real happy when the one-room schools closed, or were they glad to see the consolidation?
First thought, when you're making any change, you don't think it's ever going to work out properly. It did work out. Parents were most cooperative. They wanted the children to get a good education, and when they came into a consolidated school, you could have things, and they provided money for each and everything. As I said, there was audiovisual equipment, lights, stage, library, playground equipment, pictures, and all of that to me, develops a part of their education. Well, I think there's one other thing that Kruger, as the kids used to call it, the Board of Education. We did not have any problems with discipline at all. Your parents backed you. It was not a time where people were fussing and cussing and hollering and suing. I do remember there was a rule that I had that if a child was going to get punished for what he did, he never got punished to 20 minutes after 3. He worried and fretted with that all day long. And to me, he had more punishment all day waiting for whatever he got than anybody else could give. Next go.
Well, now, did you, when you came to Harford County to work in Darlington, did you say you boarded?
Yes, I boarded the people of Mr. and Mrs. Williams Self. He ran a very small hardware store, and he was a harness maker. Harness making was just about gone at that particular time. I remember, well, the Self set an awful nice table, and I remember she was a lover of cats, and I never saw so damn many cats that came in the house, and I used to throw the damn cats out the door or out the window, but they were good people, they were good, solid people, and helped me a great deal getting to meet people. When you see in Darlington, there are some old houses around Darlington are very beautiful, some of the old stone buildings, and as you go out from Darlington down toward Rock Run, there are some charming, beautiful homes there. It's worth a visit for anybody. And I think one of the prettiest ones is the Holdaway Farm that's come down through the generations. The Holdaway, I better not say that, I don't know, I was going to say they are Quakers. I believe they are Quakers. I'm not absolutely... Yes, they are Quakers, yes. Because John Scarborough in the Churchville married one of the Holloway girls, and they were married at the Friends Meeting House in Darlington. I attended that. Next question.
Okay, now you said you went to Churchville. You were transferred down there. Now, what happened? Was it a... What was Churchville like when you came here? About what time was that?
Oh, you mean when I came to Churchville? Mm-hmm. Right. 1931, Churchville mm-hmm. Consolidated School was opened up. Mm-hmm. Now, Darlington children had to pay, when I left Darlington, they had to pay their fare to Belair to go to high school. Mm. The old Churchville School is where the present Presbyterian Sunday School building is. There was a store that was run by Walter Cole. At that time, he sold machinery. Then he moved over to the present store where his children are running the store. Mr. Al Richardson had a store on the original place where the Presbyterian Sunday School is at the present time. I think it's a little bit of interest that when they got ready to build the Sunday School building, they had a lot of trouble getting permission to move the dead people. Then they finally got that, and along the stone wall, they have put up all the headstones of the people that were buried there. It's well worth a trip to see it. You will notice that a tremendous amount of those are Scotch. Go on, next question.
Now, this was in the midst of the Depression.
Yes, sir. Depression, and I mean depression.
Was Harford County feeling the effects pretty badly?
Yes, right. As I said, well, when I came When I came to Darlington, it was $115. When I was over in the Ardmore, Maryland, in an elementary school, it was $95. No, things were tight. And I mean tight. I was living heavenly on $115 a month. Hmm. Next question, sir.
Now, let's see. Now, in Churchville, was it you were a teacher?
No, I was a principal.
You were a principal.
Now, I was what you'd call a teaching principal. I taught the sixth grade. First of all, it was the seventh grade. And then years later, they changed it down to sixth grade. And then I was sixth grade teacher. And then I was made principal alone on that. Now, just a couple other comments, I think, of interest. In 1931, when I came here, the old hotel from colonial times, there was nobody living in it at the present time. Yes, there was a Mrs. Hawkins living there, but she died. I remember she was a little over 100 years when she died, and then it was vacant. And I remember going into the hotel, and in the bar room, the old bar was still in there. And the rest of the house was in pretty bad shape. And I would say approximately 10 years after that, they tore it down. Then, where the present bank is, there was a house on that corner. And I remember people by the name of Stevenson lived in it. And there was always a story that went back that from that house they sold slaves.
Hmm.
Next question, sir.
And let's see, how many teachers were working with you at Churchville?
Seven. Seven teachers is what we started out with. Now, on Churchville School, as time came along, they have put two additions onto the building. The greatest enrollment that I ever had in Churchville was around 700. It is down. Of course, they have taken the sixth grade away from there now, and it's approximately about 400 to 450 students at the present time.
So that the Churchville School moved from where the Presbyterians have their...
Right. Now, in other words, that was a two-room school. That was closed. And then all the children came on up.
When did they move into the brick school at Churchville?
Now, wait a minute. I don't follow you now.
Let's see. I thought...
Wait a minute. Wait a minute now. I think I get what you mean. The two-room school was made of wood. Now... Well, I think what you were talking about, the brick building, is the present Churchville School.
Mm-hmm.
That was 1931 when that was opened.
Oh. So it wasn't too long after you started teaching at Churchville that you moved into the new school? Or had it already?
No. You see, I was in Darlington from 1928 mm-hmm. to 1931. Mm-hmm. All right. Then I got a job to open the new school in Churchville in 1931.
So you opened the new brick school?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Huh.
Oh, you mentioned something else. How about supervision and so forth?
Mm-hmm.
Your supervision in the 1930s was excellent. We had two supervisors. One was Miss Graw. I can't think of the other lady, but she was up from... Concord, Massachusetts. Then she left, and then Miss Fisher came in to work. And they were feeling the pressure of money to run their schools because she was transferred from the Eastern Shore of Maryland to Harford County. I know, especially with Miss Graw, she came and observed you this week, possibly on a Tuesday. You talked with her. And talked about what you should do and how you should do it. And she was back the following Tuesday to observe you, to see what you were doing, and then consult and talk and give advice.
Hmm.
And I mean, it was marvelous. It was a helper. In other words, so many people today just come in and look and goodbye. But she was there to do something, and she expected it done, and you had to do it if you wanted your job. Mm-hmm. Next question, sir.
Now, what was the community of Churchville like where the kids came from? Were they mostly farmers?
Yes, most of them are. This has been a agriculture committee altogether. And of course, I mean, since then, they've been easing in a few more houses and a few more. I can remember on this property where I am, I'm just trying to think who owned it. Maybe the name will come to me. I remember that I even come over and helped get up hay several times. I helped with the thrashing over here a couple times. In other words, they needed some help. And I was available and came over and donated my time. And I remember one time, the fellow says, there's some walnut trees out there. Would you want them? I said, another man in Churchville was working, and we decided we would take them. And we had them sawed up in the lumber, and our children have used it for making a furniture.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, what about... was the community very large?
No, the community was very small, very small. In other words, it was at once called Lower Crossroads, and that was all there was. There was a road that came from the northern part of the county, came down to Churchville, and then on down to around Abington in that area. Now, all of that area was a great tobacco area. If you go back in colonial times, they used to roll the old hogsheads down to the water. And they had boats that came in and got the tobacco. Hmm. Abington has some very, very old houses down there. Very old houses. Mm-hmm. And it's worth a treat. There's one that was owned by the Battis Shoe Company. What is that called? Do you know?
Sophia's Dairy?
Yes. That's a beautiful old building. Mm-hmm. Now, there was, down at Abington is a very old house. One of the colonial men. I believe he was governor at one time. Hmm. I can't answer mm-hmm. on that. Mm-hmm. All right, what else do you want to know?
Well, now, let's see. So, what about when you first started the new school, it didn't have the cafeteria? People were still bringing their own lunch?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then it was along about 1937, 1938, where we had soup 2 days and cocoa on the third day. Hmm. And it certainly worked and worked well.
What did the kids think about it?
Enjoyed it. Enjoyed it.
Did Mr. Wright, the superintendent, was he pleased that you did
it? Yes, he was very pleased that we started. Well, the people were generous. They gave the potatoes. They sent in their jars of tomatoes and corn and so forth. And I remember we had it all lined up there. When you got ready for the soup, you took down the jars or whatever it was and made your soup. Hmm. I remember one particular day, Dr. Grant was a minister at the Presbyterian Church for a very, very long time. And his wife was very well-to-do. But she offered one day to make potato soup. And to her distress, the potato soup all boiled over. And it was quite laughing stock in the town that she didn't know how to cook. I think when you say a Churchville, I think there's a family that was a very rich family with a finish. Mr. Bill Finnish, you ever hear of him? He was a broker in Belair in the canning business, but he went broke. Hmm. His wife, I can't think of his wife's name, but she was from Harrisburg. That's brothers ran banks, and she was extremely wealthy. She was, well, very generous with her money for anything to help and develop the community. Mr. Finney, and a man, took care of the graveyard, kept it in shape, planted trees, trimmed trees, and did everything. And it's worth a treat to go to the old Presbyterian church and to walk out in the cemetery and see how well it's kept and of the old tombstones they had there. Now, if you go back in history, there was a Reverend Finney that came to Churchville as a minister. There is a large stone there in the graveyard to Reverend Finney. Next question.
Okay. Now let's see. Then a little bit later, you had the World War II, and what they didn't. There weren't many men around here that you could get to do things. Is that why you had to end up doing a lot more?
Right. I mean, it was draft time, and every man that was drafted. I remember the janitor. He was 44 years old, and he was drafted into the Army and had to start in his training again. And at that time, I know there's a couple months that I took care of the furnace, and many a time that I have driven buses in the evening because we didn't have anybody to drive them.
Hmm.
Next question, sir.
Now, when did you start having your buses?
Oh, buses ran in 1931. Actually, right, 1931. In other words, they used to make two trips. In other words, it wasn't too far a run. So they could go out and pick up the persons about 8 o'clock, get in at 8:30 at school, and then go out and pick up their second. Now, if you take from Churchville down to Forest Calvary, that's about 3 miles. Now, if you go from Churchville out to, can't even think of, where's the fire department?
Level.
Go out to Level, round by Aldana, back to Churchville, I would judge you've got 6 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So, you see, that's not too far. Mm-hmm. Then you got Glenville, a little over 3 miles. But of course, at that time, you had your poor country roads, and they were poor. And I remember, I have a picture I've picked out this morning, that at times, the roads to Glenville were blocked. They didn't have machinery to dig it out. Mm-hmm. They dug it out by hand. I remember one time, it was a week, they were digging out on that. Next question.
Now, what about the teachers that you had? Were most of them from around the area?
In the beginning, in 1931, yes. Practically all of them were local people and lived at home. And when you got a job, you were supposed to live in the community. You weren't supposed to be going to Baltimore and so forth. No, practically all of our teachers. But I would say in the along in the 40s, then you start getting people from wherever you could find them.
Mm-hmm. Was Mr. Wright instrumental in getting a lot of these advancements in the school system?
Now, what do you call advancements,
well,
sir?
Well, things like buses and consolidation. And
Yes. I wish I could give you what his budget was at that time, but I can't give it. You could get that from the Board of Education. Mm-hmm. No. He was a very economical man, but he got the real value of his money.
Mm.
He got the real. And I can just think of one. He had one man that took care of all the building repairing in the whole Harford County along about 1928. Mm. I can't think of his name.
Was he a good man to work for?
Yes, right. You were expected to do your work, and if you did, it was great. And anything that he could do for you, he would do for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nice to work for a man. He was reasonable, And if you had a problem, well, it was generally Saturday morning was the run to Belair and visit the Board of Education. And if you had any business, you were always welcome into his office. You solved the problem and went on about your business. Mm-hmm. He was a wonderful man to work with. Mm-hmm. I think it's all, I expect you know about his history of Harford County that he wrote. Mm-hmm. And it's a good job. It's well done. Speaking on that, when C. Milton Wright, after he graduated from school, his father took him over to a trustee of one of the schools up in the northern part of the county. And I know C. Milton's father says, son, you better go out there and help that man get up that hay. And then after you finish getting up the hay, you can ask him about getting a job at the school.
And that's how he got his job?
That's how he got his job, yes.
Well, now, let's see. As principal, did you see a lot of changes that were to take place at Churchville School?
Now, what do you mean when you say changes, sir?
Well, when you first came to when you left, were there a lot of changes that you saw?
Yes. Well, actually, I've seen the development of the county into developments and houses upon houses upon houses. Hmm. Now, what do you refer to? What else now? Well, now, you had the little old local garage when I first came, repaired automobile. That's disappeared. And of course, you got your modern gasoline station there. You had three stores in Churchville at one time. All of those stores gave you credit. And there wasn't any problem. You charged your goods there. Of course, you expect to pay it, and they gave credit for people. Hmm. Now, next question.
Well, how did the school system change, or how has Churchville School changed since when you took over it?
Well, you sort of got with me. Of course, as time goes along, we make changes. We put in new courses. You get new types of equipment and so forth. You have a better library. Children go on trips to places of museums and so forth. They've got a good cafeteria. You've got a good stage. You've got music at the present time. You've got physical education. Now go on with another question.
Well, now, were there ever, you used your stage for things, I'm wondering about like traveling groups and things that came in.
Yes, yes, a great deal, of that. Now that wasn't started, I guess that was about the time of the Second World War. In other words, the government was supporting a lot of artists, and those artists would come and put on a program for you. Music, bands, plays, and they're still doing that up to the present time. Now, I don't know if Reagan's going to cut that out or not.
I think I'm going to have to. Were there things like Chautauqua, or was that before that?
Chautauqua was before that. I can remember Chautauqua along about 1912, 15, 18 was your Chautauqua time. Mm-hmm. Then Chautauqua sort of died out. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if you know it or not, but up in Chautauqua, Pennsylvania, a lot of that was really where the Chautauqua started. And many of the people that were on the circuit of Chautauqua have homes in Chautauqua. Hmm. And, I mean, they go back and use, and I don't know exactly what to call it. It's a place where they have all kinds of shows, plays, and so forth. Mm-hmm. It's a social area for music, books, and so forth. Mm. Now, go on to the next question.
Now, let's see. Was your interest always in history and things? Is that an interest of yours? Or how did you get involved with Stepping Stone Museum?
I guess I came along and needed some help, and I was willing to go along and work and help with it. And I remember when we first started the Stepping Stone Museum under Mr. Bull, it was quite a problem, and it's still hard to get people to donate the time. But the museum, of course, after Mr. Bull died, they had to move all of tools and collections. And I think it's interesting to note that the Stepping Stone Museum, most of those things that they have been donated by the people of Harford County. It's moved over on the Susquehanna Park now in a large house, and they're making improvements there and developing the museum, but you just can't develop something fast without you have money. I know that they're, what should we call it, they're making a collection of money this year, 1981, to further develop it. They're out working on that. Mm-hmm. And there are grants from the government for museums and plays, music and so forth. But I don't know if there'll be any this year or for the next two or three. Mm. I think Craft Day is a marvelous time for anybody to go to the museum. It's well worth your trip. Mm-hmm. Now, what's next there?
Let's see. Is there, as principal of the school, did it take you out of some things that you wished you would have stayed in the classroom with, or it was just growth? I mean,
it was growth. In other words, when we had seven teachers, mm-hmm. we had supervisors. They came in and they did the supervising on that. Mm-hmm. And of course, as a group. Attendance grew, there was just more and more problems. Mm-hmm. And then finally I was made just the principal of the school mm-hmm. alone. And I can also remember when we went into Churchville School in 1931, we didn't have any furniture at all. And any furniture you could beg, borrow, or steal, you got. And as they started closing the one-room schools, we were very fortunate to get some of the things that they had in their schools. Mm. Of course, time has changed now, and you got all new desks and everything new. But at that time, you provided what you had and used it, and were thankful you had that much.
Mm-hmm. Were there teachers that came from one-room schools?
Yes, a lot of those that came in. Yes, a lot of those that came in from those schools to make up the seven grades.
Was it hard to adjust, I wonder, from being at a small school to
Arkansas? No. My wife started teaching in 1929 in Aldina School. And by gosh, there was two teachers in the one room that taught at that particular time.
Mm.
Well, and I know she lived. She stayed the week in a private home. Then on the weekend, she went back to her parents and visited over there over the weekend.
Hmm. Did you board some at Churchville before you bought your home?
Yes. I lived with Sharpley Hawkins. In other words, he and she had three of the teachers. And I know they wanted to make a little bit of money, and they moved into the attic, and I got one of the rooms. But it was very shortly after that that they said that I would have to go because they were going to use one of the bedrooms for themselves, and I don't blame them. Then I went to Blair, and I lived with Miss Lil Forward. She was a sort of a politician of Blair at that time, and her sister ran the library, and the library was mighty small back in 1931. Hmm. Her name was Priscilla.
Oh. Hmm.
You got any other questions, sir?
Well, Let's see. Do you have any comments on your philosophy of education or the philosophy you see in the schools?
Are you saying, is it beneficial?
Uh-huh.